Welcome to the Millennial Soul Food Podcast, episode 11 on My Initiation. I'm your host, Keontae. Enjoy. What's up? It's your girl, Keontae, spiritual life and business coach, tarot reader, cultural sociologist, and self-described cosmonaut based in New Orleans. Yes! How are you doing today? How's it going? So today is episode 11, and I wanted to get on here and just do some stuff, you know, off the cuff, just talk a little bit about myself and a personal holiday that I have coming up. So on June 26th, actually, it's going to be the 10th year since my initiation. And so I'm going to go into what exactly that consisted of. But first, I kind of just wanted to talk about some things, you know. For sure, please like, share, leave a review of the podcast on iTunes for me. I would greatly appreciate that. Please share it with your friends and family. I want to get the message out there. You know, I want to get the MSF gospel out to the people. Handadi Shabota. So Black Lives Matters is still popping off, period. I am just so thankful for the young people out there. I mean, I'm 31, but like, I'm just really thankful for all of the younger people and just all the people who are out there doing the work, you know, just out there putting themselves out and, you know, out there in danger, essentially, you know. And if you are out there, please be exercising some kind of safety, you know, have a partner. Don't just go out there willy-nilly by yourself. Listen to my Black Lives Matter, All Black Lives Matters episode. You know, I went in on that episode. You know, your girl had to go in a little bit. You know, I'm a girl of the times. You know, my work has got to reflect the times. Nina Simone said, "What kind of artist am I if my work does not reflect the times?" We are not ahistorical in this motherfucker. We is not ahistorical. Everything has a context. So yeah, please like, share, leave a review on iTunes. Also, yeah, if you got your, you know, get you a glass. I mean, I got me a glass of wine. It's a Saturday afternoon here in New Orleans. I'm inside with the air conditioner on. Also, I wanted to talk about Juneteenth. Lord, it's hot here, though. It's hot. So, you girl is inside, you know. Anyway. So, Juneteenth. Juneteenth. I celebrated Juneteenth yesterday with my really good friend and starseed sibling, Tamisha. I am Tamisha Monet on Instagram, and we went to the park. We went to City Park, and I have a few trees out there that I consider ancestor trees. And I mean, a big part of what I'm going to talk about later as far as my initiation is has to do with trees. But yeah, we went out to the ancestor tree. And there's many ancestor trees, like I told you, I have many, but this was one that I specifically have a really deep connection with in City Park, and it's on the bayou, and I think it's a portal. There's amazing energy there. It always calms me down. I kind of go there and just kind of release my energy into nature, because nature, certain parts of nature especially, are on energy grids, and they, if you tap into that energy by meditating or visualization, if you're stressed out, if you have been affected by heavier vibrations, or I don't like to say negative vibrations, but vibrations just throw you off, you know, that just kind of make you feel like, eh, you can go to the park and just find somewhere that feels right. You know what I mean? I think I just have a natural gift for this kind of stuff. Like, but you can develop the skill, but you just go somewhere in nature that feels good. And I, like, you know, say a prayer of thanks. And basically, you know, just absorb the energy of that piece of land, and like it's just regenerative. Like, you don't really have to do anything. It's not really like a deep ritual. It's just like going out there and soaking up some energy and then just feeling rejuvenated, and especially being out in the sun. So we went to this place, and Tamisha definitely agreed it's definitely a portal. We gave our offerings and stuff, and definitely got some confirmation from Mother Nature that the offerings were accepted. And yeah, we were out there for about an hour. We braved the mosquitoes, because the mosquitoes down here, Lord Jesus, they're so big, and they are very persistent. Like, they don't quit. Like they are really, they will bite you, like, period. Like, you just gotta accept it. So we braved the mosquitoes, and we just told some stories about, like, just like our heritage. We talked about Black Indian culture and like the erasure of it, because I think a lot of her family is from Louisiana. And we talked a lot about ATRs, African traditional religions, and interconnections with starseed ancestors. I'm gonna kind of get into the starseed ancestors in a little bit. But yeah, that was my Juneteenth. It was very beautiful. We tried to go to Congo Square in New Orleans, but that was closed in Louis Armstrong Park, even though Mayor LaToya Cantrell just signed a proclamation for Juneteenth. But for me, that kind of seems like it's just a symbolic gesture, and it's not really, you know, I can't go to the park and celebrate my Black spirituality because it's closed on a holiday for my people here in the United States. You know what I mean? So it's like, girl, can we get it together and like really be on the ground? Can we like be multi-level about our politics, you know, and like how we want to do things and how we do like human social progress, you know? Anyway, but you know, the devil is a lie. And sometimes we didn't need to be in the quarters, because the quarters got too many spirits down there. It's too chaotic sometimes. So I just be like, I like to go to the other energy grids in New Orleans, because people like to go to the quarter a whole lot and stuff like that. But it's a lot of spirits down there that I don't feel comfortable around. The port, it was a lot of torturing that happened in the quarter. A lot, like, torture of Black people. And then all them people, I mean, before COVID, going down there and getting drunk. Drinking, and the spirits are feeding on them. I've heard multiple people tell me around here, like, they've heard people possessed. Seen them. I've seen people. I'd be like, ooh, it's something on you. I rebuketh thee in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And wound of Mother Mary. But for real though, it'd be too lit down there for me. I don't really be like going down there like that. What else did I want to talk about? So if you have any kinds of ideas for content that you want me to speak about on the podcast, just shoot me a message. Shoot me a message on the gram, you know, or you can send me a message on my website at millennialsoulfood.wixsite.com/MSF888. That's millennialsoulfood.wixsite.com/MSF888, as if that's not long enough. All right. So also, if you know, if you're on Instagram or if you're on like social media, Or if you like have any kind of speaking engagement that you want, you know, your girl to talk at, like holler at me. I can speak about a variety of things, but specifically I can speak about anything as far as like cultural sociology. I love speaking about Black culture and its interconnections with spirituality and philosophy. Also, I'm a tarot reader, you know, so I love speaking about tarot. I love teaching about tarot as a divination tool and a tool for just critical reflection for personal and spiritual development. And also, as a spiritual and business life coach, I really enjoy talking about the ways that you have to be very aware of yourself in order to manifest what you need in order to progress spiritually, personally, and spiritually for your unique self. So I work with people to become their best selves. but working with people to get over hurdles, you know, there's a lot, like, we are all insecure about something and we all have things to work through. And so that a lot of times our insecurities can block our ability to get these downloads from our spirit guides. And so my purpose is to work with people as a kind of critical mirror, I like to say, to move through that, you know what I mean? Because that's what life is about. Life is all about progression. And sometimes you fall back, but you get back up. Hallelujah. We fall down, but we get up. Okay, anyway. So. All right, so let's get to the main topic of the show. And so the main topic of the show is my initiation. And so I want to first kind of start off and say that this is about psychedelics, and I am not encouraging anybody to go out there and do anything that I did. This was 10 years ago. I was 21 years old. And I'm not encouraging you to go out there. Whatever you decide to do after hearing this is your responsibility. I'm not encouraging you to do anything. I'm just putting this out here so that I hope that someone gets something from it. Because I have been, I guess up until maybe like about 2 years ago, I've been more open about it as I feel like society is opening up about psychedelics and their beneficial uses for mental health and personal and spiritual development. So I just want to preface this by saying, don't go out there and do nothing, because I'm telling my story, because this was a part of a spiritual ritual. This was a part of a spiritual belief system that I have. This was a spiritual ceremony. So this wasn't anything that I was doing for fun per se. This was some serious business that affected my life in ways that I never would have imagined before, period, ever. All right, so let's get into it. So June 26th, 2010 was whenever it was like the summer that I had gotten back from Mexico. So between 2009 and 2010, I lived in Latin America. And so I was living in Ecuador for about 6 months. And then I lived in Mexico for about 6 months. And I had just gotten back maybe about a month prior to this June 26th date. And I just randomly chose this date. And I had one of my really good friends, I'm not going to mention the name, but they know who they are. It was going to be their first time doing LSD. So this was LSD. And I had been reading a lot a philosophical text in Latin America. I actually read, I received this book. What was, I think it was called Don Juan. So while I was in Ecuador, I had read about the teachings of Don Juan. And this is a book, it's a spiritual text, and it's about this person's shamanic journey, and their journey through the nether realms. And so I had been reading about that, and this book is from the 60s, I think, and it occurred in Mexico. So this is Don Juan in Mexico. And I had read about that, and I had done like psychedelics and stuff like that, like previous to this date. But this summer, I had just been reading a lot of different books, and then I came across the Tibetan Book of the Living and Dead, it's called the Tibetan Book of the Living and Dying. And I came across the Tibetan Book of the Dead, and these are all connected. So let me just tell you how they're connected real quick. This is a long story. So if you got some tea or something like that, you know, get your tea and let's get into the story. So that summer I read this book. It's the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying, and it's the English translation of the Tibetan Book of the Dead. And basically, the Tibetan Book of the Dead is an ancient text from Tibet that describes what occurs after death. And it talks about all of the different dimensions of meta reality. So reality that is beyond our senses and beyond this lifetime. So it talks a lot about reincarnation. And there's a lot just about different types of deities and different types of like manifestations of spirit. So it's very, very deep. And this summer, I had read that book. And the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying, actually, it's a book that really, really kind of, I guess, made me think a lot about death. Because this is a trigger warning about like emotional stuff. But I had, before going to Mexico, I was like extremely depressed because I grew up like queer, black and queer in rural Mississippi. And I was like very depressed, like to the point where it was like, you know, like suicidal ideation. And I didn't have to go, you know, into an institution or anything like that. But I definitely was kind of like, oh my God, like, I don't know, I was kind of at a breaking point. And going to Mexico and going abroad kind of just like freed my spirit. I feel like just the experiences, and I just realized so much about the Black diaspora. And so mind you, I was like reading all these philosophical texts, and I was reading about dying, and specifically like this book kind of made me, it motivated me to reconnect with my spiritual purpose, but on a much, much higher level. And so I was always a party girl, but also I was very spiritual. So I stumbled upon Timothy Leary, and Timothy Leary is actually a Harvard professor from the 1960s, who was one of the first doctors who became like really, really popular, who studied the medicinal effects, psychological effects of psychedelics. And so I read a lot about him, and I read some stuff that he had come out with. And specifically, I read The Psychedelic Experience, and it's available just for free, PDF on Google. But this text is very interesting because it's basically a manual on how to do your own type of soul death and rebirth as a new, quote unquote, enlightened being. And I do use enlightened in this, but enlightenment is important to understand. Enlightenment is not a static state. So you can have a spiritual experience that is enlightenment, you know, that changes your whole life, but you still exist as a being in the third dimension, in the matrix. So one has to manage that. And for me, I definitely will consider what happened to me enlightenment. Like, I don't think I'm never going to have an experience quite like that, a spiritual experience quite like what I'm about to tell you. But also, it's like, yeah, so I have my days, you know, nobody's perfect, and this did happen. But also, it's like, I'm a spiritual worker for the people. So I'm not going to just sit here and isolate myself and just keep trying to have these solo experiences, because I think it's important to share this type of information. And I think that's the reason it happened to me. That's the reason I received all of these downloads, like, during this initiation that I went through. And so that's a little aside about that. But I had read The Psychedelic Experience, and so it is a manual that basically goes through a description of what the Tibetan Book of the Living and Dead is, and it goes through what happens kind of like after death. But this the psychedelic experience relates dying and rebirth to an LSD trip. So if you know anything about LSD, you basically, the effects last for 12 to 15 hours. And so this is a very long shamanic ritual. So this is, I recorded things on my phone, my little early version iPhone. Back in 2010, those things was like some Lego blocks. But I recorded some stuff on my phone. I had a whole playlist. I planned it to do it with my friend who I trusted. It was actually his first time. And so I read that manual and I knew what to do. And so I asked my friend if he wanted to do it. And I was like, you know, I'm going to be doing my thing. He wasn't really like super like, you know, he was not like, you know, hoodoo person or anything like that. But he had his own thing going on. And that's still one of my best friends today. But yeah, so I went over to his place. It was the day of. And so we were like, all right. I had my playlist, you know, going. I had read the manual and stuff like that. And we like took the tabs and chilled out for a little bit. And then the effects started. And my friend, he went over to the other side of the room. And for part of the ritual, the first part of the ritual was to simulate you was to physically induce basically your own kind of like spiritual death. And so part of it was like laying down in like the yoga pose, Shavasana, and like you were like a corpse. And so I laid down, and this was after like 45 minutes whenever I start to feel the stuff. And whenever you first began this kind of shamanic ritual, with this kind of like chemical spirit, you feel the top of your head begin to rise. And a lot of people kind of do it wrong because they just take like, you know, they're like, I'm tripping, like fucked up, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But your crown chakra is actually ascending to like higher perceptual realms. And so that is when you need, that is whenever the manual, whenever Timothy Leary and the psychedelic experience instructs you to lay back. And so I laid back and I began to have all these visions. My eyes were closed. I was totally still. I started feeling like I was sinking and sinking and sinking to like the underworld. And so I felt like I was sinking. And then I just started having all these visions of these kinds of beings that were like very like just hideous, like some of the most hideous, ugliest type of stuff you could see. Like I saw like human carnage. I saw like just everything that you could think of that is evil. And so that was part. So I like went through that. That lasted for a pretty good while. I would say about like 45 minutes or so. And it was just like, I was like, I knew I needed to remain peaceful and get through this part of the ritual in order to get to the other side. And so it was like, just if you Google like Aztec gods or like Kali, it all looked like that. It was just like, it was like I was being taken through the underworld. And so that happened, and I got through that, and I like opened my eyes, and that's whenever the visuals sort of started to happen. And mind you, this is like hour two, and the visuals started. And so I like went in and checked it with my friend, and we hung out for a little bit. And I noticed all of these like just like grids and ley lines everywhere. That was kind of what my friend was talking about. And I was like, wow, this is very interesting. And so across the street from where my friend was staying, we were in Oxford, Mississippi, which is, if you look it up, is actually like ancient Chickasaw and Choctaw land. My family actually, like my grandmother's family, is actually from like 30 minutes away in from Oxford, like Water Valley, Bruce area. And so it's very interesting land, you know, definitely Mississippi. I did a lot of shamanic ritual there. I would say solitary, informal shaman. Well, I would say it's pretty formal for me because it was through my guides. But that part of Mississippi, definitely, I couldn't have had those experiences anywhere else. And it was a particular energy grid and a particular kind of vortex of energy. So anyway, I went over to this special tree across the street, and across the street was William Faulkner's cemetery. And just Google William Faulkner. William Faulkner was like this kind of this like problematic white author from the early 1900s, I think. But the cemetery is pretty cool because there's like a lot of nice trees and stuff like that. No telling what kinds of spirits is there, but period. My spirits is powerful. So I would hang out there all the time, and you know, we would just chill out there, me and my friends or whatever. I would go out there alone a lot too and just look at the stars at night. I was very like gothic, and interestingly, but I mean, it's different, I guess. If you're a spiritual person or you under kind of get spirits, like it's just different sometimes. I don't know, I just felt at home in that cemetery. So there's a special tree that I would hang out under, and I was really feeling the effects of the spirit. I'm gonna just call it the spirit. And so I was really feeling the effects and stuff, and I had my recordings on my phone. I had just some mantras that I was repeating. I had recorded some mantras that I was repeating into my phone from the psychedelic experience and from the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying. And so I went under this tree. And this is the very important part. Like, I went under this tree and I started to meditate and just kind of like ponder like my existence, sort of. And I don't know, it was just really beautiful. I like was just really, I was had all these visuals, all these like feelings of connection to spirit. I was out in nature. I was really connecting with, I feel like I was connecting with the nature spirits. And I think the tree that I was under was a portal. Wait till I tell you about some other stuff later. But through this experience, I tapped into my own personal spiritual freedom. That kind of like, it was a form of liberation. And so I was under the tree, and I just started having these like downloads. That's like the only way I can really explain it, is I just start having these downloads about my presence under that tree, representing so many other ancient like spiritual philosophers who had got ideas under trees, like Buddha. Galileo got the idea for gravity under a tree. Trees have always been very significant in spirituality. And so this like phrase started coming into my head, like man under the tree, man under the tree, man under the tree, man under the tree. And so it was like I was like experiencing myself. I was experiencing myself as a part of something that was more infinite than I could ever imagine. But it was magnified by this ritual that I had done and magnified by the music that I was listening to at the time. Because I was listening to some like electronic music. I was actually listening to Crystal Castles. But the beat of that is very, there's a drum in it, and the bass was just rhythmic, and that rhythmic kind of like bass gets you into even more of a kind of like transcendental mind state, like kind of state. And so I was listening to the music and I was just having all these realizations, and I was just like making all these connections between like philosophy and like science and like metaphysics, because I had been studying so much. And I was like, I think I was just synthesizing a lot of my experiences from being abroad, and also from just studying like language and just connecting with so many different kinds of people and having these spiritual experiences abroad. Even I haven't even talked to you about that, but also the death that I went through, it helped me realize that my life was worth living, because I'm like a shadow worker. I'm like a shadow spiritual worker. And I was just reflecting over my life as a Black queer person, and always feeling like isolated and always feeling so different. But thankfully, I was always able to find power in that. I would say partly because of my grandmother and family, and my like mother and family members who accepted, who, I mean, it definitely, I wasn't out to them or anything like that, but I did grow up with like love in my life. And so, but I just was really reflecting over like death a lot during that trip. But at the same time, it wasn't sad. It was just kind of like, I realized my ability to persevere through even the ugliest emotions, through being treated like complete shit by a lot of people, you know, being bullied constantly every day for over like 16 years of my life. That stuff started really early, and being treated differently because I was like effeminate acting and stuff like that. This allowed me to just put all these connections together about like intergenerational trauma also. Like, I was just having all these visions and downloads. Like, that is all I can call it. Under this tree, I was, like, receiving so many downloads that it was, like, I felt like I connected everything in existence. Like, I could connect any idea to, like, a higher, more abstract principle. And so, even during this trip... Also, let me just mention the fact that during all of this, there was a thunderstorm that was brewing. And if you have ever lived in Mississippi, you know about the storms. You know about them southern storms. I live in New Orleans right now, and it storms all the time. It just rains. It just be thunderclaps. You be like, dang, Mother Nature. But that rainwater is powerful. But on this particular day, there was a storm brewing. Like, as... I felt like my trip was in synchronicity with this storm, because as I had all of these like really powerful realizations, the storm got stronger, and I just stayed under the tree, and it was like thundering. And I don't know if you've ever been out in an open space when it's thundering and when it's like storming, but there's so much energy. Like, the wind was blowing, the rain was like, I was shielded because I was under this huge tree. But it was like, I was like in tune with the storm, and like it was matching the levels that I was going through. And I just kept repeating the phrase, man under the tree. And I had my little like notepad thing out, my digital notepad. And I just kept repeating, man under the tree, man under the tree, man under the tree, man under the tree. And I just kept having these realizations of myself as someone who for millennia had sat under a tree and realize the nature of existence, and the nature of existence as being like consciousness, as the nature of being is experiencing this intelligent consciousness, this soup that we live in. But so the storm was just, it was like the thunder was going and it was like blowing, the wind was blowing and stuff like that. But I knew I needed to just like stay there and continue getting these downloads. I don't know what was going, I mean, I do know what was going on now, but I just felt like I needed to stay there and continue getting these downloads. And I was getting these downloads about, I kept thinking like, why am I here? Why am I suffering? Why am I like, why am I punished by like being, growing up here in Mississippi and like feeling so different and sad? You know what I mean? Because mind you, I had just gotten back from study abroad and I was a graduating senior and I just didn't really, I didn't have, I mean, I had was going to apply to grad school and stuff like that, but I just didn't have a plan. And I was just like, I was, you know, I don't know, to be, this is another trigger warning, but I was so depressed. I was like, if I can't get into grad school and leave Mississippi, I'm like, would consider suicide. And that was like a really, really low point in my life because I was very scared. I didn't want to have to stay in Mississippi and continue not living as my full self. And feeling so bound up, and it was just scary. And I really faced all of that during this trip and during this moment. And I was just getting these downloads about the reason that people were thinking about me this way was because society was stuck in this reductionist binary mindset. But it was greater than just like that. It was like, I got the download that it connected to binary code 01010101. And if you know anything about binary code is what it makes up computers' ability to follow like steps and language and stuff like that. It just look up binary code. So binary code 01. And in occult philosophy, zero represents the fool in tarot, and the one represents the magician. And zero is that formlessness of the universe. And then the one represents that pinpoint, that concentration of consciousness, concentration of energy. And so they form polar opposites. And in this trip, I got this vision that like literally like we live in 3D reality that is limited based on binaries and opposites. And so if you think about a certain idea, if you're writing a paper, for instance, and you want to present a full kind of like explanation of an idea, you have to talk about both extremes of that argument in order to fully analyze the situation. Does that make any, I hope that is making sense. Think about like the race relations, black and white for millennia, for some reason has been a conflict as far as the ways that we project ourselves onto other people, our traumas onto other people. And I think that this binary type of thinking is reductionist, and I think it's something that we have to move past as a human species. That is what I was getting from this download. And also I was just beginning to understand just how things related on multiple levels as far as like economics and politics and like society, and especially about how like, for instance, the media and like these institutions really make people shape people's thinking so that it is reductionist and polaristic. Thinking about so in sexuality in terms of people being gay, it's like either you're gay or not, but it's like sexuality is on a spectrum and so is gender. So it's like there have been all of these kinds of like these thinking structures or the ways that we've been, our thinking has been shaped by these institutions, has led to us thinking that things are either black and white. And so you can take that how you will. There's so many examples, but that was one of the things I was that I received, was that one of the biggest flaws of society is the hierarchical thinking and the fact that there are so many widespread beliefs about so many different things that are based on these binary scales that don't allow for a greater understanding of the complexity of things and the complexity and the expression of humanity, period. And so, it was a moment I can't ever describe this moment, like, but it gets even more out there. So basically, I got all these downloads, and the eye of the storm began to pass over. And so if you know anything about storms, the eye is the center of a storm, and the eye is the vortex. The eye is basically where all of the, where the energy is centered, but you have there isn't any activity in it. So it's not raining or anything like that. And so little did I know that we were basically in the midst of a whole thunderstorm. You can say what you want, but this is my spiritual beliefs. I personally feel like that moment was conjured the thunderstorms. It was a moment of synchronicity. It was a moment of perfect synchronicity for me to have this realization, man under the tree, at the exact moment at this thunderstorm. And so we were in the eye of the storm, I didn't really realize it because, mind you, I was, you know, on the psychedelics. And I ran back to my friend's place because I knew he was over there just hanging out. And so I was like, oh my God, what's going on? So then I got back over there and saw that he was fine. And I just couldn't get it out of my head. I was like, man under the tree, man under the tree, man under the tree, man under the tree. And it was like such a huge realization. And I was like, I feel like it was the after wave. And the eye of the storm was starting to pass by. And so I was like, oh my God, I got to go write on the computer. And so I was like writing man under the tree. I was like, man under the tree, having the realization that so many before him have had. And it was like, my mind was blown because I had received, I think this is me having tapped into the higher realms, and my spirit guides were like, okay, we're about to just shove all this information into your brain right now. And it was a lot. And so I sat down and I was just like, I could hear the storm outside too, but I knew I needed to figure this out. And so I was just like writing, man under the tree, man under the tree, man under the tree, man under the tree. And then all of a sudden, lightning struck my friend's place. And mind you, it was on an attic. We were in an attic. His apartment was in an attic. And so I was on my computer and literally the spark touched my leg, and I was like, oh, and the lamp actually went out on my friend's side, and then the lamp stayed on my side. And I just kept having these realizations about duality in everything. And so the lightning struck, and we were both like, whoa. And at that moment, I realized what man under the tree was. And I realized what this whole ritual was the lightning strike was basically the strike that initiated consciousness. And it reinitiated me into this plane as a renewed being, having experienced this type of enlightenment of man under the tree. And so it was like, also, it was just a thing of like, it's a moment whenever you have an idea in your head and then an external event matches that internal phenomenon. It was like, I was like, whoa. Because right at the moment that I realized what man under the tree was while I was writing on the computer, the lightning struck his place. And also, I know this was real because we were so like shook the fuck up. We went outside and his neighbor, who was just this regular Karen, she was just this regular white lady. She was like, "Oh my God, are you okay? I have never seen lightning strike a place like that before." And we were like, we looked at each other like, if you only knew. And so I was like just hanging out with my friend, and definitely, like I told you, he is not very woo woo at all. But I was just, he still understands what I do and what I was at that time and the shamanistic kind of ritual I was doing. But that was a situation where it was like, oh my God, because I don't know, it was just that lightning strike literally had so much symbolic meaning in terms of like the rebirth of my soul. I like, because it was like under that tree, I realized the purpose of what I had gone through and the pain that was making me suicidal. I understood that the fact that I had made it that far was because I was like spiritually protected, and that I had a type of sight that like was unique and I needed to be here to express myself and express this higher message. And so we went back inside, and I was like, okay, well, let me draw some tarot cards really quickly. And y'all know tarot be playing with your life. Like, I was like, man, really? So we went over and I was like, okay, I'm gonna just pull three cards. I'll pull three cards and they're major arcana cards. And so I had pulled the Devil, the Chariot, and the Emperor. And that was 4, 7, and 15 numerically in the major arcana. And it spelled G-O-D. And I nearly ran out of that room. And so we kind of just chilled out after that. And like, because we were still like in the... We were kind of like coming down, I guess you could say. Because at that point, it had been, I think we took them at 10 o'clock. It was around like 5 o'clock at that time. So it had been at least 7 hours. And so I went and just journaled. And I just could not, I couldn't believe this experience. And like, I don't know, I just felt renewed after that. And I just had, I don't know, I just, I will never be able to explain in words just how significant that experience was. But it gets even more interesting. So since that day, me and my friend, you know, text each other and stuff like that. And I was just researching, this was 7 years later, this was back in 2017, I was researching that day, and so I looked, and I did not know, but the June 26th, 2010 was the day of a lunar eclipse in Capricorn, and it was a grand cross eclipse. And so I'm going to post the picture on my Instagram, but basically the opposition of the planets, There is an eclipse, and then also the opposition formed a cross. So that's the reason they call it a grand cross eclipse. And I literally just randomly chose to do this powerful soul death and rebirth ritual on the day that there is a grand cross eclipse. And so that's the reason I've always been a shadow worker, and eclipses are very potent times for me to do spiritual activity. And so I discovered that after then, but I know that this was kind of like my initiation from my spirit guides, because after that, my intuition just was on another level. Like, I would just have all these types of synchronicities. I got into University of Michigan, like eight months later, I got into a PhD program there. And everything turned out very fine. And that experience really kind of, I don't know, I feel like it saved my life, and it kind of just, it really helped synthesize a lot that was going on in my life. And it also, it also kind of initiated me into the spiritual self that I needed to transform into in order to move into the next stage of my being. And I honestly really do feel like that was my experience of personal liberation. And I think it was just very important as like a Black queer person to have done that, because it was very healing for my soul, and it gave me a higher level perspective that informs my spiritual work today, my spiritual purpose. So much of it related to ancient occult texts, and it was like interesting to just experience that and live that. If you don't know anything about the Tree of Life, look up the Tree of Life in Hermetic Kabbalah, and the Tree of Life began, the activation of it, the activation of the whole universe began with a lightning strike that sparked consciousness. And that lightning strike is the energy that pervades everything in reality and existence. And so just to have had that, I was literally conjuring the weather. Lord, that ritual, that was a powerful ritual. And I'm not telling anybody to go out there and do it, period. Like, you do you. I'm not advising you to do anything. If anything, I think there's practitioners these days where you can do that kind of stuff. I am not advising you to do anything. I did that because I've always been driven by my guides. And so you can ask any of my friends, period. I don't know. I'm just here for the spiritual shit. And like, I don't know. I have always had a connection with the land, and me doing my shamanic ritual that decade ago, it was important for me to do it. I was 21 years old when all of this stuff happened, but it was important for me to do because it, I don't know, I really do feel like that was, I felt like I was abducted, and the downloads just came streaming in, and it was like a rewiring of my brain. And yeah, it was just a really beautiful moment. And so since then, eclipses are very important to me. Since then, I went on to continue doing tarot, and I just had all these experiences. I don't know, of feeling protected and like intuition. So I don't know. I think that period, I just wanted to tell you about all of this just because we all have different pathways to experiencing quote unquote enlightenment. And there's infinite pathways to this. And so you have to go with whatever is in accordance with your reality. And I think one other thing I want to talk about with this is starseed ancestors. And so the land that I was on and the land that I am from is Choctaw and Chickasaw, and there was a huge population of Black Indians there. And I, as the Black Lives Matters movement, I am reclaiming, I am here for reclaiming Black Indian heritage, because it's something that we can't deny. My grandmother, whenever I was younger, used to tell me about my great-great-grandmother, who is a Black Indian, and that's basically someone who's Black and Native American. These people, there were Black people here before Columbus set foot onto this land. So I think all of this does really tie into a lot of Native American spirituality, also African too, but I just felt very connected to the history of the land that I grew up on and that my family had been on for generations, because in a lot of different like Native American stories, they talk about portals. And so I actually 2 weeks ago just learned about this place called, I hope I'm saying it right, called Naniwaya. And it is a site about an hour south of where I grew up, and it's called in Winston County, Mississippi, and it is a mound. And so if you know anything about like Tupelo and North Mississippi, it is like people call it hill country, and there's a lot of mounds. Like, I grew up like 2 minutes away from the Natchez Trace, which is an ancient Native American trail that they used to use for trade. And also, there are a lot of mounds, and these mounds were like temples that they had built before the land was colonized. And specifically where I'm from in Mississippi, there's another spot in Georgia, and there's some spots in Tennessee. There's three places. Whenever the Trail of Tears occurred, there was this removal of Native Americans from Mississippi to like basically Oklahoma and the West. And a lot of people that were removed were Black Native Americans. And so some stayed. Some people started to just be like, oh, well, I'm Black, or I'm white. So people, because they didn't want to be removed, because the government was forcing Native Americans to move away, because chiefly they wanted to get rid of the competition. They didn't want anyone to be there that was going to rise up against the white supremacist economic system that was based on the bodies of Black people. And so an hour south of where I'm from. Well, also, I wanted to talk about how the fact that in Mississippi, the energy there, like I had grown up there and I hadn't lived anywhere else. It would be really difficult to live there now because just the laws and stuff like that. And I'm like Black and queer. I just don't think New Orleans is good for me. You know, I'm good here. But anytime I visit, the energy is just off and my stomach hurts. And I think part of that is PTSD because I went through a lot of hell there, but also because of the fact that these mounds have been desecrated, and they have desecrated these sacred sites that are on ley lines, that are on energetic lines, that are important, that were important for their spiritual ascension. And I mean, I specifically think that with my initiation ceremony, my guides directed me to this land to have this kind of like interaction with it and the weather and the environment to ultimately initiate myself into the higher spiritual realms. But it's important to understand the land. And so Naniwaya, which is an hour south of where I grew up and about an hour and a half from where I went to college and had my initiation, it is a mound. But according to the Choctaw, they have this story that it is their place of origin. So it's basically where they say that they were created. The first Choctaw person emerged from there. And so one of my friends who's indigenous told me that represents like a portal, a spiritual portal. And so it really got me to thinking about portals. And like to this day, this experience has really stuck with me. And this is the first time really that I like am speaking about it. I spoke about it on my interview with Jujube, but Jujube and also the Word Witch. But I have recently discovered all this stuff about Native Americans and just the long history and like just the long history and the interaction between like, well, I can't even say Black interaction between Black people and Black people and Native Americans, because there are so many Black people who are also Native. So that's also why like Black is indigenous and Native in a lot of contexts. So it's important to consider that. and like a lot of cultural things that we do here in the United States, do, especially in the South, do resemble those peoples that were here thousands of years ago. And so it's also really difficult to do it with like genetic information, because so many of those people were wiped out so long ago that it's hard to trace the DNA. And so, yeah, and then there's also a lot of racism from indigenous tribes, and they, even black people who literally speak some of the language, have not been able to get their cards to be recognized as part of an indigenous nation of people because of racism. But then you have people finding out that they have created a whole basically institution based on their supposed ethnic heritage, but then they do a genetic test and find out that they're Welsh and Irish. I'm gonna sip some tea on that one. So this was my initiation, and this was specifically my experience. Like I said, I'm not really encouraging anyone to do anything that I did, but I do encourage you, as to, in terms of your spiritual journey, really listen to your guides. And also, I don't really think everybody is meant to have like a shamanic moment like that, because everyone isn't a shaman. And I know from my past lives, I've also done some other rituals and some other shamanic ritual that has revealed some like past life information to me. And so it was kind of just natural for me. And I grew my relationship. I grew up in nature. I grew up appreciating nature. I grew up in the woods, going to the woods, being out in nature, appreciating nature. And so I was from the land and like appreciated the nature spirits. And I don't know, it was just a special moment. And since then, like I said, not like I'm trying to act like I'm perfect or anything like that, but literally I am called to do spiritual work. It's hard, but hey, it was just very interesting. So yeah, the astrology of it, also notes, put some notes into this. Eclipses are portals that happen on a grand cross eclipse. Like I said, I will put the image in the podcast, but it formed a cross. And since then I have tattoos on my arm. I have, observe, internalize, enjoy, which I already had that tattoo whenever I was in college and had my initiation ceremony. But I also have a cross, because the cross has always been significant to me in a very interesting way. Also, the cross in terms of me growing up Southern Baptist and going to like Church of God and Christ Church for a long time, and my relationship with spirituality, but also achieving Christ consciousness through this initiation by my spirit guides. And I have Horus represents third eye and perception. I have man under the tree tattooed on my arm also, because that phrase will forever be with me. And I so appreciate the spirits for blessing me with that gift of having that occur in my life. And, yeah, like I said, go read The Psychedelic Experience. Go read philosophical text, because it's important to have that knowledge, and it's important to have historical knowledge. So this initiation, before I did it, I had read like a lot. Like I majored in international studies in college. Like I had done a lot of reflection. I had done like a lot of journaling. I'm the only child. It wasn't just willy-nilly. It wasn't anything like where I was like, oh my God, like I'm just going to go out here and do this. So you need to really be careful whenever you do choose to engage in shamanic ritual because it will take you to the depths of your soul, take you to the underworld, and you will have a spiritual death. But can you come back? Can you be resurrected? Handa diabosha tabota shabota. Anyway, so yeah, that was my experience. I just wanted to get on here and talk a little bit about it. And also I wanted to just do it to commemorate the experience and the 10th anniversary of this, the experience that initiated me into spirituality. I mean, after that, I continued doing tarot and stuff like that, but I wasn't doing any kinds of sessions. This was in 2010, so I started doing tarot in 2017. So it took 7 years. 7 years is my life path number. But it took 7 years to do that. So I took it, kept it a secret up until 2017. Only a few people knew about that, but I continued my occult study through after that initiation, because it was like I felt like I got so many ideas, like everything that I read afterwards connected in so many different ways. And so I read more about, I even read stuff about physics, I read stuff about like mathematics, I read stuff about like space-time theory, string theory. I read all these theories about like the reality. I read a lot about existentialism. That summer I took a philosophy class. I really read a whole lot, and I learned a lot about people. I went on to go to grad school at University of Michigan and do sociology, and I got the opportunity to interview like some 50 people about their experiences, and I wrote like a thesis on racism, perceptions of race in gay neighborhoods, and like, but that experience just opened up my mind. Like, it just opened me up to just meeting different people, to just accepting the best from spirit. And it's funny, the next day, this is very small, but the universe speaks in very small ways. I went to the gas station and I like literally had like $3.27 in my pocket, and I went and got like a drink and like a candy bar, and I was still kind of like in the other realm a little bit, so I was kind of like out of it. And I got to the cash register, and it was exactly $3.27 was the total. And so I was like, wow, confirmation. And so since then, I see all these angel numbers. I did this episode on, this is episode 11, so this is an angel number, 1111. I would see all these angel numbers, and I would have even more coincidences. I've done even more shamanic ritual, and so the spirit has so many ways of speaking that, I don't know, it's just important to listen. And I don't know, I'm really thankful for this experience, and I really thank you for listening to this experience. I hope that you get something from it. I'm definitely gonna write it. I have a whole outline written out, and I'm gonna post it to my blog eventually. I'm saying this for accountability. But yeah, I would encourage you to continue along your spiritual path. Write out what happens. Write out what you want to happen. Write out what has happened. Write out what will happen with confidence. And just be open to new experiences. Don't do anything that puts your life in peril. But be willing to sort of stretch yourself and trust the universe. And so that's my message. And I love y'all so much. Thank you so much. And have a good one. Y'all didn't think I was done yet, did you? Okay, so if you like this episode, thank you so much for listening. If you liked this episode, please share it. Leave a review on iTunes. Five star, hopefully. She a five star chick. Hey, a five star chick. Hey, she a five star. Wicked, wicked. Also, all Black Lives Matter. Let's continue the revolution of 2020 in the midst of all these retrogrades. Black people, let's continue praying to the ancestors for strength, and continue opportunities to thrive in our inner worlds. Create your own portal. Create your own portal on an energy grid and heal yourself. Have your own inner world. Get together with people in a safe space if you are able to. And then if you're someone who isn't, if you're in kind of a rocky home situation, pray when you can. You know, so we all need to be in prayer. And my non-black people that's in the struggle too, thank you for your assistance. It's about motherfucking time. I'm kidding. But for real though. But yes, thank you so much for listening. But also I wanted to do a Capricorn advice. So someone wrote in, Mo Matthew. So they say the message is, hey, hello girl, what's up? How you doing? They are like, I just have some questions about how do I find more people who are like me, just into the same stuff as me. I need advice on finding a group or maybe even making one. So I'm shuffling up my cards right now. I'm gonna draw three cards very quickly. See, 1, 2, 3. Okay. So, let me drink a little bit of wine on this one, girl. So you got the Eight of Swords, Four of Cups, and King of Swords. So the Eight of Swords is a card that depicts a person who is encircled by swords, and they are bloodied and battered. So this does show some type of trauma, especially trauma as it relates to maybe ideologies that have been violent towards you, but they have you sort of feeling trapped in the swords. And then you also got the Four of Cups. The Four of Cups in the Rider-Waite deck that I'm using depicts a hand from a cloud reaching out to give a person a cup, but they're like, I want this. So this can represent kind of disillusionment or fatigue with your current social environment. The King of Swords is that kind of power play card. The King of Swords is an executive of ideas and of making connections between ideas to lay frameworks for action. And so the King of Swords calls on you to really get in your ideas bag. You know, girl, like, I mean, you say that you might want to make a group. Let me draw one more card. Let's see, make a group. What could the group be about? Oof, a card fell out. Let's see which one it fell out. Queen of Cups. Wow. So Queen of Cups relates to your emotions. So I wouldn't say create a group based on trauma, but create a group based on what makes you feel happy and powerful. Powerful happiness what makes you thrive. What makes your emotions feel more powerful? What makes you feel more powerful as a person? Really go with your gut and your intuition to drive what you do, what action you take with whatever ideas manifest in your life. But also definitely work through whatever trauma you have experienced This might be a way for you to work through that. Do the personal work on your work on yourself first, of course. And maybe, you know, if you have a way to create a group that is based on your interests and shared interests with other people, I definitely encourage you on trying to make one, or, you know, figure out some way that you can expose yourself online to similar people who think a similar way or are interested in similar stuff that you're interested in. 'Cause I know the quarantine is still going on, even though people are not following it. But yeah, that is my advice. So yes, you got the Eight of Swords, the Four of Cups, the Queen of Cups, and the King of Swords. So I hope that this advice helps you, helps along your spiritual progression and upgrading. We all need to upgrade. Hallelujah. But in the meantime, thank you so much for listening. And that is it for sure right now. All right. Thank you. Love y'all. Bye.